So last week we started to discuss, and we're going to go through it from the beginning again. We started to discuss the seven qualities in order to trust in a person. It is not possible for any human being basically to have all these seven qualities. Hashem is the only being that is capable of all these seven qualities. So the seven qualities were, as he spoke out, and with each of them, we spoke out last week why that itself is not good. So as an example, the first one is that if you want to trust in a friend to do something for you, you need to be able to trust that the friend has compassion, empathy, and love for you. The problem is that to be able to trust that still doesn't mean the friend's going to be able to help you. Meaning, even if he has the compassion, if a person's suffering with health, my friend's gonna have all the compassion in the world. They're not gonna be able to be a doctor. So they have to also be able to provide whatever it is that I need. And they have to also be able to, and I have to also know that they're going to make the best choices for me. Not that they're gonna say, oh yeah, well, I've got a meeting in 2 weeks' time, and I'll be able to help you then. As in, whatever, come back to me in 2 weeks because I've got other things to busy with. Meaning that to be able to trust, there's seven qualities that without any of these qualities, you can't put your 100% trust. If you send someone shopping for you to buy, I don't know, to buy a particular type of water, a particular type of water that you want. Now, if the shop doesn't have that water in, so if you were there, you'll choose a different type. But if you give an instruction to someone to just, please go buy me a shishiyah of water, and they go there, and the one that you describe to them, they don't have on the shelf. Now this person's stuck, because this person doesn't know you well enough to know what would Adam do in this situation. Would Adam leave the shop? When Adam says that he wants this water, does he mean only this water and not that water? Or does he mean he wants a shishiyah water? This is my preferred choice. He doesn't know enough about you to be able to make decisions when the decisions are not his hand to be made properly. So we'll go through on here. I printed out like anything. I haven't put very much work into this. I just explained to ChatGPT. I put the picture of this chart. I explained to ChatGPT roughly what I wanted, and I'm gonna hopefully before the next year try to work on it properly. But the seven things are, number one, Hashem is the most compassionate and loving, as in he has the most compassion for us and he loves us more than anything. Now, when we try to understand who Hashem is and what Hashem is, it's a virtually impossible task, because Hashem is infinite, and infinity is not a concept that our brains are capable of understanding. If we take any number in the world, any number that you can think of, the largest number, do a one with a trillion billion zeros, I could have another zero at the end and the whole number changes. It doesn't take me any closer to infinity than the number one does. So one and 100 trillion billion are both as equally far away from infinity as each other. One for us, one to a million seems like whoa. But when you're taking it onto an endless scale, so these are like the first tiny, you know, it's like when you go onto Google Maps and you zoom out. Okay? So first you can see the grass and the houses and the cars, and then you start to zoom out, and then you see buildings. Or when you're going up on a plane, yeah, eventually everything starts to look like Lego, and then it just disappears out of sight. You don't see anything. The larger the scale, the smaller the things on it seem. So one and a million, one and a billion, one and a trillion, one and 700 trillion are all the exact same compared to infinity. So the way that the Tanya explains this, he explains that infinity is one, everything else is zero. Meaning that if we only live for 120 years and Hashem is going to live for eternity, Hashem is eternity, has been here for eternity, higher hive of year, it means that essentially we are just, we are just like a tiny, 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 tiny dot in this massive puzzle. Yet, we have many psukim throughout Tanakh of Hashem explaining how he loves us and how he cares for us. We say in Ashrei every day, most of the psukim in Ashrei are just talking about how Hashem provides for the whole world. Tov Hashem lakol v'rachamav al kol ma'asav. Hashem is good to everyone and he has mercy, v'rachamav al kol ma'asav. There's mercy on all his creations. All his creations mean there's not a single thing in this world that wasn't created by God. Every single thing. You see a phenomenal building. The glass, they took sand and heated it up. Who created the ability that when sand gets heated up, you can make glass? Who helped the Chinese come up with all the machinery? Who created AI? Who put all these things into the world that a person can wake up one day and boom, he worked out a thing called electricity. This guy worked out this. There's been all different times throughout history where Hashem has put different things into the thoughts of someone, because he wanted a particular person either to come up with a particular piece of Torah, or he wanted a particular person to bring out a new invention. He wanted electric cars, so he put Elon Musk into a particular family where he would go through a particular schooling system, knowing that he had already planted in Elon Musk's thing that when he's done this, that, and the other, he's going to be my messenger to introduce electric cars. This guy's going to be my messenger to introduce. Everyone has an introduction. But Rachma Bal Kol Masov, Hashem, in a certain sense, is what we're going to see here, in a certain sense, he's looking at the whole picture as one. He's looking at the whole picture as one. I need this in the world. I'm going to have it in this world. I want it and it's here. But also, Hashem has a personal thing. Rachma Bal Kol Masov means that Hashem, and again, this is not a concept we can understand. We have to understand. The biggest faith that we have to have is the faith that we don't understand everything, that we can't understand everything. All the scientists that have come up with all ways of explaining things, the reason why they come up with that is because they can't understand the concept of something that we don't understand. So when Newton was standing under the tree, if I don't understand why this apple is falling, then there's a problem with me. So therefore, he had to come up. He had to work out the theories. All the different scientific theories that we have are all theories that were worked out because people can't, because to believe that you don't understand everything, to believe that Hashem is infinitely larger, even though we don't understand what infinity is, but to believe that He's infinitely larger than we will ever be able to grasp, that is the highest level of bitachon. So the seven qualities that we mentioned was, number one, Hashem is the most compassionate and loving. He loves every blade of grass, every drop of sand, every drop of water, every human being, every animal, every fly, every mosquito. Mosquitoes that we're so quick to trap and kill, Hashem sends those. Hashem's in charge. The same way we are walking around, breathing, talking, able to do things, able to go places, everything that we see, there's not a single thing that we see that isn't created by Hashem. Some are more natural. A tree is a lot more natural by Hashem than a building. But a tree still needs to be watered. A building, all the das that went in, some of it from hundreds of years ago, the way that we make bricks with cement and all these different things, Hashem put into the minds of people hundreds of years ago. But everything, ultimately, every bit of chachma, every bit of everything, was created by Hashem. So Hashem is the most compassionate and loving. He cares about every little detail. All He wants to do, the only reason why Hashem made the world, is to give. He just made it because He wanted to be able to give to us. Hashem is also the most attentive. We say in Tehillim, Hinei lo yonom v'lo yishon shem Yisrael, that the God of Israel, Hashem, who is guarding Israel, never ever falls asleep. Yeah? Now, I've been in army bases on the watchtowers. They have shifts, 6 hours, maybe 7 hours at a time, and they're changing over, and a guy will do 2 days worth of shifts, then you have a week off, and then another 2 days of shifts every few hours. Hashem, since the beginning of time until
the end of time.
The infinite, well, there is no end of time, but for infinity, Hashem will be active every moment in everything going on in the world. Nothing can ever or will ever slip his attention. The third one is that Hashem is almighty. Nothing can get in the way. If Hashem decides something is going to happen, nothing can get in the way. Whilst, as he explained, when someone's trying to help you, so a guy says, hey, I'm going to help you, I'm going to drive to Tel Aviv to you. You need something picked up from Tel Aviv. The guy, he's compassionate, he's attentive, he's going to help you. You get stuck in traffic. There's a crash in front of him. The guy can't move anywhere. Okay, tried, I wasn't able to. Hashem, such a thing can never happen to Hashem. No one and nothing can stop God from fulfilling His wishes. Number four, he is all-knowing. Now, this is one of the hardest concepts to understand. Hashem has so much more history than we will ever be able to comprehend. Just the fact that, as in, we've each come from Adam. From Adam, it's spread out further and further and further, which means that inside Adam, if you look, all the 8 billion people in the world, all essentially came out of one person, which means that in one person, Hashem has created that in one person, there is the ability to cause a continuation that goes on for eternity. So Hashem knows all the information. So any circumstance that a person is in, Hashem knows where, you know, when I was younger, I used to very often wonder, if only this would have been different, how would life look? You know, like, you just take one random moment of your life, if this would have been different, if this would have been like that instead of like that, had I not made Aliyah when I did? So I used to like to think about these things, how would life have been different? The truth is that Hashem knows the answer. And because Hashem knows the answer, that was why He made things this way. meaning that it becomes more and more irrelevant, all the things that we didn't do, once we realize how all-knowing Hashem is and how every root of Hashem is always leading to a good place. Everything that Hashem does is good, which we have spoken about in the past. Number five is exclusive care. Hashem has always exclusively taken care of you. He won't stop. There's never been a moment in your life since before you were conceived where Hashem has taken care of you, and there will never be a moment where he won't be. Sorry, there's never been a moment where he hasn't taken care of you, and he's not going to stop. Everything is in his hands. It is only God who can get things done. And number seven, Hashem is generous and kind. Hashem gives not because we're deserving. He gives because he's kind and he wants to give. Now, this is something which a little bit later on in Shai B'Tochen, he re-emphasizes this, because very often we know that the things Hashem wants from us and the things Hashem doesn't want from us. So very often a person goes through a time where he's become a bit more lax in his relationship with mitzvah or with tefillah or with something else. And then suddenly a test comes along and the person looks at it, oh, Hashem must be so angry with me now. Hashem is for sure doing this to me now because he's angry with me. Hashem is doing this to me, he just wants to let out passive aggressiveness, but that's clearly not the case. Hashem gives us anything, whether we're deserving or not, meaning that it's not really our mitzvahs that are earning everything that we have. Our mitzvahs are going to earn us in the next world, but the life that we have here is nothing to do with our mitzvahs, nothing to do with our averus. Everything that we're getting because Hashem has decided that this is what's good for you. He has a Rosh Hashanah every single morning. He goes through every single blade of grass, every leaf. Is this leaf going to fall off the tree today? Is this leaf going to stay on the tree? Is this blade of grass going to be stepped on? Or is it not going to be stepped on? Every single small detail of the world, including every detail of our lives, where Hashem is, okay, this is going to happen. Now, whether you do a mitzvah or avera, that's not why the things are happening. In the way that we respond back to Hashem, once we're receiving everything. We woke up this morning and we were all Baruch Hashem given. I've got some tissues in my box.
My phone. I'll leave it here.
There are, when we woke up this morning, we were all given 24 hours and like another 24 hours to live, which is not a given. We're not still living because nature decided that if your heart's pumping, because Hashem is nature, and Hashem is making my heart pump right now, Baruch Hashem, and he's helping me breathe, and he's given me the knowledge back then, years back. He sent me to a particular school where I learned how to speak, and he sent me to this rebbe where I learned how to pray. All the different things Hashem has been involved in, and it's very important to realize that we don't have to be deserving to get his help from us, which is one of the main qualities that you won't find in other people. When you go to a human being for help, you're always thinking, do I deserve this? Like, what's in it for him? What's in it for Hashem is that he loves us, he's our father, he's our master, he's our shepherd, he just loves us unconditionally. If we just take this paper, I'll just read through. So this is, as in, essentially, sorry. As we're going to learn in the next chapter, in the third chapter, he starts to go through that these seven qualities is only the first stage of five stages for true bitachon, like to really trust Hashem in our everyday lives, in our every moment. This is only believing that God is the only one with these seven qualities is the number one, is number one in a series of five things that we have to have. So if we just go through the sheet, so I put down seven things here. So number one is Ahavosai El, I should say Briov, is perfect love. Hashem is compassionate and gracious. I can trust Hashem because he loves me completely. Hashkachosai Hatamidis, which is from the Pasuk Hine Layonim Leishan Shem Yisrael. Hashem has a constant awareness. The guardian of Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. Hashem never loses sight of me. The third one is Yechilosai Hagamura, his unlimited power. Whatever Hashem desires, he does. Nothing is beyond his ability. Number four, Yediyosai Hashlama, his perfect wisdom. Hashem knows that man is not in control of his path, and Hashem knows what I cannot see. Number five is Hashkachosai Meireshis Chayov, his lifelong care. he has cared for me from before I was born. Shakol Biyodai, everything is in his hands, i.e. nothing happened without him. And Roiv Tovai V'chasada, he has endless kindness, endless goodness and kindness, as with this apostle we said, Tov Hashem L'Kol Rachmo V'Kol Masav, his goodness never ends. Now, this is all very nice. The main reason why the why the Shabbat Doctrine brings this is because the Shabbat Doctrine is trying to help us to take concepts from our intellect and get us to feel it properly, so that when we're going through a difficult time, even something as simple, I've mentioned this a few times, when we're stuck in traffic, yeah? So being stuck in traffic happens to all of us. Sometimes you see all the lights green, sometimes you see all the lights red. When you see all the lights green, Hashem has decided that you should see all the lights green. If you don't notice it, the next time, all the lights might be red for you. You're gonna sit there all frustrated, thinking, why did that car push in front of me, and why is that person trying to cross now, I'm trying to go, and why is that bus pulling over? There's so many whys. The answer to every single one of the why questions that you can ask in any situation, but traffic's a great example, is because Hashem decided it so. So now, if Hashem decided it so, if you have learned these seven things, and you realize, okay, so Hashem decided that I'm gonna get stuck in every red light, every bus is going to pull in front of me, every zebra crossing I'm gonna have to stop, everything, and it's gonna take me 30 minutes to go down a chuzah, I know that He loves me.
I know it's good for me.
I know He knows everything about me. He knows how worked up I get when I'm in traffic. He knows His goodness never ends. He's known me from before I was born. Meaning, these are the seven practical things to use inside of a situation. Having this level of awareness of God, use them inside of a situation, and then suddenly it becomes not why did this happen to me, but why did this happen for me? Meaning, when Hashem's out of the picture, it seems that that driver has made something happen to you. That driver's causing you to get to wherever it is that you need to get to later. Or that this bus, or that red traffic, oh, why are the traffic lights always 1 minute? Why are they 2 minutes? But when you realize that Hashem loves you, He's involved in everything, He's doing everything, He's compassionate, He just wants to give and give and give, that's all He wants. All He wants is just to give us, and all He does is good, and suddenly you could be in a situation that to the naked eye seems like an awful situation. You're running late to a meeting, seems awful. You're running late to catch a flight, seems even worse. However, in that situation, when you have the awareness that every tiny aspect of the situation, including the bird that comes and drops its load on your window and the leaves, and then you try to squirt your window and there's no water. All these different things, every moment of our day is planned by Hashem. And when we're frustrated because we think we're in control. And when we're in control, if I was in control, I would do things differently. Hashem, if I was you, I would have put the green light. I wouldn't have made the bus. I wouldn't, but I'm not you. And I know that you did it with even better interest because you know the future. I don't know the future. I don't know what tomorrow holds. I know what yesterday was. And even yesterday, I already know I was in one place. I had no idea what was going on here in Renana. I was up north. I had no idea what was going on anywhere. Hashem, you know everything was going on there. You know everything. And therefore, when you're in a situation, it can help you by knowing these things. So if you have a look on the right-hand side, I've just done just some sort of tefillot. Just very, very, very simple, basic things. But whenever we are always going through the point of the world is that Hashem couldn't be blatantly obvious and open in the world, so He had to be hiding. But the point of the world is not that Hashem should remain hidden, the point of the world is that we need to find Him. So when we're in a situation that this situation feels like Hashem is slapping us across the face, it's a problem. It's a problem for us, not a problem for Hashem, because Hashem has done it to be good. So it's written here, because you love me, you can say to Hashem, when you're not feeling the love, help me feel your love, even when I don't understand your ways. Meaning, I don't have to understand why you're doing things, but help me understand, help me be able to, and this is what the belief system is. The belief system is that I know Hashem is running everything. Hashem, right now, even though I know that you're running everything, this situation feels like you don't love me. But I know that you love me. So now, instead of asking Hashem to help fix the situation, ask Hashem, help me love you. Help me feel the love that you have for me. If I feel the love that you have for me, I don't care about how the situation carries on. Because I know that however the situation carries on, I'll be able to feel that that's coming from your love as well. So what we really need in any situation that we're in, be it financial, be it health, be it
spiritual,
be it with kids, shalom bayis, any situation that we're in, every situation that we're in, if we're feeling that Hashem is being tough with us, then what we need most in that situation is not that Hashem should fix it how I want to fix, not that He should make this person better or make this person win the lottery, but He should make this person feel his love through the situation. The next one is, because you never forget me, help me remember that you are with me every moment. Which is also, very often we go through our day and it seems like there's like, we've just finished a whole long meeting and we're finally getting home, and then, you know, one of the kids chucks a chocolate and we get all dirty and we've got to go for a shower. There's so many times a day where we don't even look at that as being Hashem's thing, but we're just like, what is going on here? That is where we need to dive in, that Hashem should help us in the every moment. The third one is, remove my fear and strengthen my trust. We are always, because we don't know what the future is, we're always fearful. Everyone always has fears. You know, you've just made Aliyah. Mm-hmm. I still remember when we climbed on the plane. Mm-hmm. It was the craziest mix of emotions I've ever had. On the one hand, can't wait. Right. New life, mm-hmm. Israel, hot weather. I mean, coming from England, hot weather is the thing. New people, new chances, new opportunities, but also,
no friends.
What does tomorrow hold? Yeah. What does tomorrow night hold? What does the next day hold? What does the first Shabbat hold? What does the first Chag hold? There were so many fears, so many unknowns, and the unknown, we always translate unknown into fear. If it's unknown, I'm afraid for how it's going to go, because maybe it's going to go badly. When we understand that Hashem doesn't do badly, everything Hashem does is for the good, and when we realize how much He loves us, and how much He cares for us, and how much He wants to give us, then the main thing that we need is remove my fear and strengthen my trust. Meaning, I don't need you, Hashem, to tell me what tomorrow looks like. I don't need you to tell me how this is going to work out, what my 1 year or 5 year. All I need from you, help me feel that you are in the driver's seat, and help me feel you being in the driver's seat, and help me be able to feel that trust, and therefore I don't have to be afraid because you're the greatest driver. Number four, help me trust your wisdom over my own understanding. Because Hashem knows that which we don't, He knows the past and the future in a way that we will never be able to. So help me trust your wisdom over my own understanding. Meaning, when I think that the solution to my problems is X, and I see that Hashem is clearly not giving me X, and Hashem is making me work super, super, super hard, and every time I think I'm that bit closer to X, I realize that actually X is still where it is, and I'm still trying to get that sort of result. In that sort of situation, help me trust your wisdom over my own understanding. I understand that this is going to fix my problem, but I know that your wisdom has something greater. So help me to trust your wisdom. Number five, help me remember your kindness throughout my life. Meaning, one of the ways that we can trust Hashem fully is we have to be makatoiv on what He's already given us. We were just discussing this earlier. A person should be taking out 5-10 minutes a day to have a conversation with Hashem, not to ask Him for anything. Because He's going to give it to you anyway. A relationship. Imagine if your relationship with your spouse, as you came in, you don't give anything. You just, hey, bring me water. Give me this, I want that, go there, get me this. If you're just giving all the demands, a person's wife might be happy doing that. But you're missing out on the relationship. That's not a relationship. A relationship is where it goes two ways, but it's a conversation. If we spend all our time with Hashem asking for things only for ourselves, Hashem's fine with that. We can spend our time how we want. Hashem doesn't tell us what to do. Hashem gave us a choice that we could choose how every minute of our day looks. However, we're the ones losing out. We want to build a relationship, and therefore, to spend 5 or 10 minutes every day looking at the different blessings, looking at our wives, looking at our kids, looking at how we ended up here, how much had to go into, all of us here, all made Aliyah at very different times, 20 years, 1 year, 2 years, 17 years, and less than a day.
Which, by the way, when I was leaving a good job and like selling our house and stuff, so we started to get upset about something. Yeah. To try to like calm it down. Be like, oh, because we're not going to get a good price, and we're not going to be able to buy. It's like, no. So,
beautiful. So, one of the best ways. So, one of the best things that can happen.
Like, yeah. A year or two. Yeah. You forget Hashem, you just slam. Well, not because we're the case.
So, one of the best ways to work on Bitachon is to be Makatoib. When you look at all the good that Hashem gives. Everyone has. I mean, the fact that we're breathing. Yeah, we say in Moedim every day. Moedim and Achulach. Thank you, Hashem. Al Nisecho Shebechol Imonu Val Niflo Yisecho V'Tev Yisecho. On the good, on the wonders, on the miracles. Shebechol Eis Erev Avoyka V'Tzarayim. Every moment of the day. When we're focused on what Hashem is giving us, it's also easier for us when we're in a situation that we don't understand. When you've been Makatoiv and when you've looked for the good and when you realize that all the good that you have, every good moment that you have felt in your life. Was goodness coming from Hashem. Everything that's happened to you was goodness coming from Hashem. When you look around at it, I'm healthy, Baruch Hashem, I've got this, I've got that, I've got kids. I know, I've got, you know, I just met a high school friend yesterday. I didn't know this. There's still 3 guys from my class who are not married yet. To me, as soon as I heard that, I was like, wow. I got so used to the whole thing. I don't think I've ever actually thanked Hashem. I thanked him on the day of my chasana, yeah. Have I ever thanked Hashem? For the fact that he found that he bought up, not just that he found me a wife at age 20, but that he set up generations of families, parents who went through struggles all around the world for hundreds and hundreds of years, so that there should be my wife should come out of this larger family with all the qualities from all her ancestors, from all her grandparents, great-grandparents, great-great-grandparents, that she should end up in London, that we should recognize some of the family, and therefore, when my parents heard this, they were like, okay, like, they like went forward with it. The amount my Hashem had to put in started from Adam. When Hashem created the world, he decided, in year 5, 7, whatever, this person, they're going to meet on this and this day. This is how the first date's going to go. This is how the second date's going to go. Hashem planned it all. And when I heard yesterday that I've got three friends who are like not married yet, I suddenly looked back at my life since I got married. And with all the struggles, with every struggle that I had, I would do it a million times over, because I could not imagine a scenario of re-experiencing the last 9 years without wife, kids, family, community by my side. And when we are makatov, when we thank Hashem, even for the things that we just take for granted, in fact, those are the things that we need to thank Hashem for most. When we thank Hashem for the fact that we can breathe, there's thousands of people right now around the world on different wards and different hospitals who every single breath, they don't know if they're going to have another one. They are so, you know, I was recently on a cancer ward, and I walked past a room of someone trying to struggle every single breath, like really loud noises. We could breathe. But how often do we stop and say thank Hashem for the breathing? Now, when we do stop and say thank Hashem for the breathing, what do we realize? When we realize that Hashem is that actively involved, that a few thousand times an hour I am breathing in and out without having to be conscious of it, because Hashem is taking care of that for me. And when I'm going into a business meeting and I turn to Hashem and say, Hashem, I know that you got this. I then don't have to care how this meeting goes. If this meeting goes good, I know that because Hashem decided that this meeting should go. If this meeting goes bad in my eyes, it's much easier to trust that it's good in Hashem's eyes, because that same Hashem helped me breathe all the way through the meeting. I could have just stopped in the middle. When we're makatoy, when we look for the good, when we look for the good that we have in our lives, whether it's personal good, meaning my wife, my community, my circumstance, my family, or whether it's just general good, my eyes are working. I have an auntie who's blind. She's never seen, she doesn't know what colors are. She walks around, there's a stone on the floor, to her it's just a thing. To us, at least, you know, we can look at it, it's a white stone, it's a black stone. Flowers, trees, we have eyes. Every single day, we say the bracha in the morning, Pekechim, thank you Hashem, Pekechim, and they open up my eyes. But because, since I was 3 years old, and I got my first siddur in a school in Manchester, I've been saying the bracha Pekechim every single day, ever. Thank you Hashem, you made my eyes work. No. When you say that bracha, this is what Rabbi Victor Miller says, when you say that bracha, look around with your eyes open, look around with your eyes closed, and imagine how boring the world would be for you if all you saw was what you see when your eyes are closed. If you had to try walking home now with your eyes closed, imagine what that would be like. And then when you thank Hashem for the vision, thank Him for the vision. When you thank Him for the vision, you realize that He's putting all the things we take for granted, when you realize that they come from Hashem, and relying on Him in any situation, health, wealth, traffic, anything, becomes much, much easier. So just to do the last two. Yeah, so that was number 5. Help me remember your kindness throughout my life. Number 6, help me rely on you rather than on people or circumstances. So this is also a very, very, very important point. I'll use an example of a doctor, because that's the easiest example to fix. So the doctor, by default, is someone who we go to with minor problems, usually, or more average problems, and he has a fix for it. It's in the more severe problems that you then try to find the best doctors in the world, until eventually a person realizes that Hashem has a different plan. That it does, sadly, often get to that stage. But from the beginning, when a person goes to a doctor, when a person goes to a dentist, when a person has a surgery, when a person needs anything, or when you're going to a business meeting, or in any other situation, the relationship that you're having is, Hashem, I know that you have this either way. Meaning, you have to verbalize, you have to have that relationship, that conversation with God. When you're walking into a doctor's office, I know that whatever happens is only happening if and when you allow that. But please, Hashem, make it that this doctor can be the right shliach to help me through this. Help him have the tools and the knowledge and everything needed to be able to help me. But I realize that I'm relying ultimately not on this doctor's knowledge. This doctor's knowledge is not what's fixing me. Neither is the medicine that he gives me. What's fixing me, what's going to help me is you. So please help him be a good shliach. And tuvcha, because your goodness never ends, open my eyes to your kindness and fill my heart with gratitude. So that is that instead of spending our time worrying about all the things that we don't have, we should be asking Hashem to help us just enjoy the kindness of the world. There is so much, like, it's actually one of the things that I think we've enjoyed the most about Israel. When people, like, outside of Israel ask me, like, I can't explain it to them, but everyone in Israel is like, Israel, people spend more time outdoors.
Yeah, it's not
exciting. You understand
Canada,
the gyms. The gyms, every park has got gyms, every everything. Why? The outdoors, there's so much to look at. Every tree that you look at, every flower that you look at, every blade of grass, it's so fascinating. Pick up a blade of grass outside and look at the amount of detail on one single blade of grass and realize that the same creator who made that is the creator that's putting you through every single situation that you have ever been through and will ever go through. And the one who's helping you and making all the best choices for you. And in Mitzvah Hashem, with these seven qualities, we will be able to have the strength. Yeah, go on.
Just a question. The last thing you said, that Hashem is helping you make the best decisions possible. I'm saying, like, if a person decides...
No, that Hashem is making the best decisions possible.
I'm saying a person just right now decides for the first day, I'm going to go buy cigarettes. That's not the best decision possible.
Oh, Hashem definitely gave us free choice.
Right.
Free choice is, but when you're conscious of Hashem in every situation...
Yeah.
Then the real thing to do in a situation is, what would Hashem want? Why am I buying this?
Yes.
Is this going to add godliness? Anything that's not going to add godliness,
right?
Yeah. When you switch on the lights, yeah. So dark is not something. Dark is a lack of light. Anything that's got a lack of godliness is a lack of godliness. Meaning, it's just dark. If this moment or this person or this thing doesn't have 100% godliness in it, then wherever the godliness is missing, you've got a blind spot, you've got a dark spot. And it's our choice how much of every moment we want to fill up with godliness. So when we're making a decision, sometimes, like Rabbi Nachman, one of the interesting things he talks about is that sometimes we have various battles on us. Yeah? So let's say most people that smoke say that it relieves stress for them. Okay. So if you're struggling majorly now with a bunch of different things, and you've not been getting to tefillah, and you've not been learning, and you've not been this, and you've not been that, because you've been so stressed. And there's a stress reliever that Hashem has put in there. I'm not condoning or saying anything pro or thing. I'm not talking about cigarettes in particular, I'm talking about anything. Yeah, fizzy drinks. We're told Coke is not good for us. I go to lots of places, I see lots of people. I used to drink a dangerous amount of Coke. I can't say I drink that anymore. But we do have choices, and we need to understand that because we're in a relationship with Hashem, there's different ways of looking at different things. Meaning that if you're taking something, you know, if a person, as in, like I do smoke, I am on and off of smoking. When I smoke, I won't have a cigarette and scroll on my phone. Some random crap. Because that Hashem definitely doesn't want. If I'm smoking because I'm telling myself that
it's relieving stress.
So what do I do? I go on and I'll read on Safari on my phone.
You're stressed out.
One pasuk of Tehillim, one little Mishnah. Do something for Hashem so that you could say that even that moment, even though it was
some godliness
in it. Even though it was my animal soul that decided that I can't sort my stress out, that I have to be doing something. Okay, fine. So I've got 90% of the room filled with light and 10% missing. Okay. Hashem loves me, it's absolutely fine. The question is, that 10% that's missing, can I put 1% more in there? If I can, and I don't, I'm missing out. So we first have the free choice, which is a free choice inside the circumstances. We discussed this a few weeks ago, I'll just give a very, very, very quick example. People take the word free choice a little bit too far. Free choice, if I have a free choice now to go to the Bahamas on a private jet. Now, do I really have a free choice? No, because I don't have a jet. I don't have the time to go, I don't have the money to go. So to say that I'm choosing this when I'm not being given the tools necessary to make those choices, I'm not really making a choice. So the way that works with Hashem is that Hashem has given us certain tools. Inside of those tools, we get to make choices. So he's given us 50 shekel. We could use this 50 shekel to give to tzedakah or to buy a box of cigarettes. That's a choice we can make. Now, if we've chosen to do it for that, then okay, so now you're in the moment where you're going to be doing that. Now, once again, there's a choice to make. Am I going to use this to scroll Instagram? Or am I going to do this to do something positive? Or am I going to do it to look up at a tree and say, wow, nature is beautiful. Try to learn something from a tree. Try to learn something from a fly. Inside of every single choice, there's still more choices to be made. And as long as somewhere towards the end of the line, you make as many choices as you can, that fame of Hashem, we know which ones are too hard for us to break away from. So don't break away from those now. Go with them, but decide inside of them how you're going to bring godliness in. And when you do that, then relationship-wise, you're good. Because now, inside of this moment, you're saying to Hashem, Hashem, look, maybe there's something that you don't want for me. Maybe it's dangerous. Maybe it's this and that. Personally, stress is also dangerous. Stress kills way more people every year than cigarettes does. Blood pressure, heart attacks. But that is irrelevant. We've been told that it's not safe. However, Hashem, I'm finding it too difficult, that battlefield. So I'm going to have it. But whilst I have it, I want to be with you. First, I'm going to thank you for giving me the stress reliever. And whilst I have it, instead of scrolling, instead of just letting my mind go thing, I'm going to use the stress relieving time to concentrate on you. How's it going to help? Because eventually, Hashem becomes your stress reliever. Hashem is the stress reliever. Because when you're relying on Hashem, there is no stress. So whatever situation you're in, if you bring godliness somewhere into it, eventually, and you keep that going, eventually, the tools that were getting you to that moment with Hashem, you won't even need the tools anymore. Your stress reliever will be that when you need 5 minutes outside, you'll go outside, look at a tree, talk to Hashem, and that is your stress reliever. Mitosh shaloi lishma balishma. We say, and we're coming up to Elul now, and this is like really one of the biggest concepts that we have in Teshuvah. We say that in Teshuvah, everything that we did wrong, Hashem can turn it into good deeds. What does that mean? So all the avaris that I've done in my life are all going to suddenly be good? How? Who, what, when, why, how does such a thing happen? I did bad things, and some of them I even knew that I was going to get punished. It was too hard for me in the moment, and I went for it. Because we're talking about a relationship with Hashem, ultimately what Hashem wants is Hashveinu Hashem Melecha v'nashuva, Chadesh Shimeinu Kekedem. All Hashem wants, Hashem is happy at any point, say Chadesh Shimeinu Kekedem, I will renew your days like old. At some point in our lives, the earlier the better, but at some point in our lives, some people sadly, they only do it, you know, the people that die al Kiddush Hashem, the last word of Shema Yisrael Hashem HaKin Hashem Echad, yeah, like the gas chambers of Rahman Islam, in the bomb shelters down south. We were just inside one this week. We did a barbecue next to a bomb shelter that had five religious chayalim killed on that fateful day. And sorry, lost my train of thought.
Shema Yisrael.
Oh yeah. So we all have to get to a goal at some point where we can actually feel like we're spending most of our time, at least, doing what God wants of us. Meaning that everything that we're meant to be doing, life, with family, work, as the Shabbat talking explained, these are all meant to be done inside of the world of Hashem. Every business meeting, you need to do the business meeting. You need to go there. You need to have your resume. You need to have everything. But you also have to realize that everything on your resume, all your skills are from Hashem. And whether you get this job or not is up to Hashem, not up to the person sitting on there. And ultimately, it gets to the stage in everyone's life where we have to... Sorry, let me just... Before my alarm goes and interrupts. We have to get to a stage in life where we feel that actually now, everything I've been through, now is when I feel more connected with Hashem than I've ever been. When a person gets to that stage, and I think Israel, you'll find it's Baruch Hashem, Rashi in Parshas Lech says that, Hadar b'chutz la'aretz k'mishein lo eloka. When Avraham Avinu was given the land of Israel, Rashi says that in Israel Hashem will feel like he's our God. And someone who lives in chutz la'aretz, k'mishein lo eloka, it's impossible to feel it. There's so much going on there, it's impossible to feel it. Anti-Semitism is a mask between Hashem and the Jewish people. Simple as that. Hashem is hiding behind something called anti-Semitism, that they're walking around fearful, not of Hashem, of Ahmad and Muhammad and everyone else. When we get to a stage where we feel comfortable, where we feel like we're on a journey with Hashem, and we feel these 17, we feel how much Hashem loves us, from when that journey starts, and this is really the concept of Teshuvah, from when that journey starts, Hashem says, the same way that I say very often about, you know, we've been through moments in Israel, very, very many moments in Israel, where we've said, the entire Aliyah and every struggle with it was worth it for this one moment. Yeah, and we try to have at least once a week, sometimes once a day, sometimes five times a day. Where if I went through everything I went through, all the struggles, I sliced my finger out, I've been through all sorts.
Today that was done.
If everything I went through for this moment, it would have been worth it. Hashem, it gets to a stage where Hashem can look at all our avaris and saying, this version of you is the version that I've waited for the last 15, 20, 30 years. This version now, if everything you went through is what it took to make you in this version, I'm happy about all of it. Mitoch shaloi lishma ba lishma means we start doing things for the wrong reasons, but we eventually get to the lishma, we eventually get to that relationship. When we get to that relationship, every avera that I have done in my life has been instrumental to the person that I am now. Whether that was how Hashem would have chosen at the beginning or not, is irrelevant now. Hashem says, now, I'm going to make like the days of old, like you had never sinned. I'm going to turn every sin that you've ever done into the equivalent version of a mitzvah. Why? Not because at the time that you did it, I'm changing back in time, and when you did it, that was a mitzvah. No, but because right now, you have shown me why it was worth having that sin on your track record. Because that sin turned you into who you are right now.
Sure. Ah.